B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. Mike Vesnelli's show, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. I'm trying to figure out whether to be overly positive today or overly realistic. I haven't figured it out yet. I need you guys to figure it out for me. All right? I don't know where to go. I could sit here and go rah-rah waving the Eagle flag and say, let's get on board because they're going to do it. And then there's something that... Listen, I'm like all of you. We're not dummies. So as much as we like to go overboard with the rah-rah thing, which is good, that doesn't do anything on the field. So I'm torn here on how to handle this. Because I want to wave the flag. I want to, this is Dallas week. Let's rekindle the old days where these games meant something. And you came down, you win the NFC East with like a 12-win season. It's not the same. So while a win will probably get them into playoffs as a division title, I'm trying to figure out whether that's realistic. I heard a lot of positive people, more positive people today than certainly yesterday. So you want to take the show in that flow? I'm good. But while you do that, just don't give me like the metaphysical, like on any given Sunday rationale. I want to know exactly how the Eagles can pull that off. It's really a detriment to me that I'm logical. I need logic to fuel my soul here when we talk about anything, no matter what it is, whether it's sports, whether it's politics, whether it's modern culture, whatever isn't logical to me, I have a hard time with. But I can be talked to. And that's the whole thing about today's show. I can be talked to. Now, I've got some statistics I want to get out of the way. Because I like to purge the negative stuff right away. Dallas's defense. Because we said yesterday the Eagles would have to score a lot to win this game. Right? That their defense probably isn't going to be capable of throwing up a game where Dallas gets in the teens. The Eagles are going to have to score points in the 20s. And try to beat this team. So the counterbalance to that is this. The Cowboys' defense is in the top 10 in terms of yards allowed. And in the top half of points allowed per game. Now, they haven't had an overly great season. So these stats may be a lie. But they are the stats. And if you're thinking about the Eagles needing to score in this game, that is what they're up against. Now, let's look at the Eagles' defense and what they could possibly do against the Cowboys, which revved up their offense last week, going back to the old basic formula of running the football with two talented running backs and an offensive line they paid a bundle to. They still have to deal with the receivers. And we saw how erratic these cornerbacks are for the Eagles. So if you're selling out to stop the run, you got to be wary of this. Top-end receivers have been a serious issue for the Philadelphia Eagles. Cowboys have a top-end receiver. They have a couple. The Eagles have allowed 14 pass plays of 40-plus yards. That's tied for second most in the league. They have allowed 10 different 100-yard receiving performances this season. How are they going to do it? I don't know. But I am willing to walk the positive path with everybody going, this is now, they're home. There's going to be an energized crowd. They can exceed their expectations. And boom, they can win this game. One other thing. One wide receiver caught ball last week. All right, so did I get them all out of the way, Tyrone?
You did.
I got it all out of the way.
You did.
I purged it all.
Yes.
So how now are they going to win the game?
Okay. Huh. No.
I want to go down a different path.
Right.
But I am swarmed by these logical things that usually hold me back.
This is what I'll say. The Cowboys are more talented right now than the Eagles are. I'm very comfortable saying
yes.
that. But they'll arrive in Philadelphia Saturday at some point with the exact same record.
Yep.
And that is because I honestly believe, as much as we've talked about the Eagles coaching staff, that the Dallas coaches have done a poorer job this year than the Eagles coaching staff. I truly believe that because I'm admitting that Dallas is a more talented team, yet they have the exact same record, and they basically played the exact same schedule.
Yes.
Dallas lost to a bunch of games, teams that even the Eagles were able to beat. Green Bay, the Jets,
that
the
is
Bears,
correct.
For example.
The Eagles went into Green Bay, they went into Buffalo.
Right.
They won time-tested games.
Right.
Cowboys haven't.
Right. And for that reason, I believe that if you're going to win this game, the coach, Doug Peterson, must be better than Jason Garrett. He must be. He has been, I think, overall this year, as bad as we have talked about Doug at times, I think he's done a better job coaching with less than Garrett has with more. I think so. That's one path.
Okay.
I'll buy that.
So now the coach, who 2 weeks ago we were saying was back to numbskull status, now has the deciding edge over the Cowboys coach.
He does, based on his body of work this season.
Okay, I'm trying to get there. Go ahead.
This is my main thing I'm worried about. I know that he's the franchise quarterback, and he got paid, and he's going to have scrutiny, Carson Wentz. I get it. Right, and they're going to talk about it, and I know people are saying, if he doesn't beat Dallas, I get all of that. But when I look at the game, he's going to line up with one right receiver, as you just mentioned, who was able to catch a ball, some tight ends, and a nice running back, who's a rookie.
Yes.
Dak Prescott's going to come in with a real running back. Actually, it looks like two real running backs. Three real receivers. A veteran tight end. Not a great tight end. But the only place where I feel comfortable that the Eagles are better when Wentz drops back is tight end.
Yeah.
Ertz and Goddard are definitely better than Witten and them.
Yes.
And that's where it has to go back to the defense. Carson has to do his part. He can't fumble. I get all that. But to me, this isn't a Dak versus Carson type of game. This is defense versus defense type game, and that's where I have worries. Right.
So where do you want to go, folks? Do you want to go logical? It's not fun. The logical road is not even fun. There's no scenery on it. The wonderment road, you know, is like Alice in Wonderland. Look at all this unusual stuff that can pop up. It's a more interesting journey to believe that the Eagles will beat the Dallas Cowboys. It may not be based in reality, but it's more fun.
It's more fun, and I think there is a path, but it goes back to Doug. Can Doug put the offensive weaponry, which is limited, but maybe there's something we haven't seen from guys. Is there something he can do? They've only seen these guys a couple of games. Does he have another wrinkle for Boston Scott? Does he have another wrinkle for Ward? Does he have another wrinkle with somebody that Dallas hasn't seen on film that they won't be able to catch up to? And then on the other side, can this Swartz guy, who I don't think has had a good season, and I know that the personnel may not be great, can he scheme it up? One more time. He did it against the Patriots. He did it against Seattle. He has not done it the last 3 weeks. They've been terrible. Three straight weeks. Can he scheme it up one more time to fool Dak into a turnover or two? If he can do that, the Eagles can win. That's the path to me.
Okay.
Doug does a good job coaching up the offense. Swartz fools Dak and forces him into a couple of turnovers, and the Eagles win a 38-31 type game, because I don't know how they can keep Dallas under 30.
Right. Now, here's the other issue as we go into the break, and it's become an issue because of what was said yesterday about how the injured players are trending. Head coach said they're trending in a positive direction, meaning, I don't know, likely? Can I say likely? I guess just say they're likely to play. If that is the case, do you risk messing up kind of a role that you had offensively going over the last couple of weeks with Boston Scott and, of course, last week with Greg Ward? Do you incorporate Howard and Aguilar into the picture, or do you think that messes up the flow? I don't know. Seemed like they had a pretty good flow with the running backs last week.
They did.
Jordan Howard in there, you mess up the flow. Boston Scott becomes a non-entity. put Aguilar in there, maybe you add something, and you take J.J. Arcega-Whiteside out of there, and Aguilar adds something with Ward. Is that what you want to do?
See, that's where I'm in a tough spot. That's a good question. Maybe that'll end up having to be the Twitter poll. If how, because we know if Lane Johnson's clear, Lane Johnson's going to play.
Yeah.
We know that.
Uh-huh.
If Barnett is clear, he's going to play. Yes. And he should play if he gets cleared.
I'm only worried about the two other guys.
Right. I think that's going to be our Twitter poll question. Maybe we have the people answer. If Howard and Aguilar are both cleared, do you play them both?
Yes. What do you do? It's like, you know, you start rolling with a certain lineup. The better player is ready to play. Do you throw him in there right away and risk messing up some kind of a flow that you had? Well, we'll talk about all these issues. Logic versus fantasy. Reality versus hope. 610-632-0975. That is how you get in today. Tuesday show. Mike Missanelli show. Of course, we're going to spin the holiday wheel. Hopefully, we'll spin it for ourselves today. Yesterday, we came up with the Ziggy. We have that going on and all kinds of other stuff. So it is the Mike Missanelli Show. We are right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Next week will be Christmas week. And so, I am putting together a field of 32. of Christmas cover songs.
That's going to be fantastic.
Yes.
It's going to be fantastic.
And there are a lot of versions of various Christmas songs, and we're going to pit a few of them up against each other.
That's going to be fun.
Yes, we'll have a good time doing that.
Yeah, so
once... And I'm trying to decide whether that particular ditty that you can't stand qualifies for a number one seed.
It's a one seed.
It's a one seed?
Yeah, it's a one seed.
Wait, which one can't you stand?
I don't know.
That one just now.
Yeah, I don't know if the intro should be number one seed. I'm not so sure about the song. The intro is the best part of the song.
Yeah, the song itself is just,
cold down on the beach.
It could be a vulnerable number one seed. That happens sometimes in tournaments. Oh, that one seed's going to lose in the second round. Watch out.
All right, well, that's coming next week. I'm not sure what day we'll do it because we're working Christmas Eve.
I'm not.
Oh, you're not?
I'm here with you, Mike.
Are you here? Yeah. Well, we'll probably do it Tuesday. When's Christmas Eve?
Wednesday.
No, Christmas Eve is Tuesday.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we can't do it.
Because Monday's Dallas reaction. That's my fault. I got a lot of family stuff I got to do.
Damn, you're off Eve?
Yeah, so it's one of those years.
Well... Poo-poo's that idea.
No.
I'm sorry. Maybe we do it.
What about Thursday?
Christmas is Wednesday?
Yeah.
It is? Are you sure?
It's a week from tomorrow. It's Wednesday.
Oh, boy.
Right in the middle of the week.
What if we do it Thursday?
We could do it this Thursday.
Off
the 19th. No,
you're
no,
off
19th.
This Thursday?
This Thursday. Do it this Thursday.
No, this Thursday. Yeah.
All right, we could possibly do that. We're interrupting Dallas week, though.
We'll mix it in.
All right, maybe we'll do it. Okay. Our 2 p.m. sponsor is, of course, the great folks at Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Let's start the Twitter poll. That is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you're wondering what to get the family this year, we'll give them their weekends back with a Husqvarna auto mower from Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Check out the Automower in person at the showroom in Doylestown or online at paulbmoyer.com. Miss Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 500 votes on this one early. If both Jordan Howard and Nelson Aguilar are cleared for Sunday, would you play them both? 61% say yes, 39% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. That is a big topic. Now, let me dip in before we get to the phones, some Hembo stats, because I already gave you the other stats. Let's go inside the stats here. The Eagles, believe it or not, have the third best rushing defense in the NFL.
Yeah, I didn't know they're good against the run.
Okay, so they haven't been good at times, but that is one of the things they do the best.
Yep.
They're decent against the run. They weren't decent the last time they played the Cowboys.
No.
So, in fact, the Cowboys, well, they had 189 rushing yards. The other thing is, the Cowboys, like, when you look at analytics, this is a hard stat to believe. They are 16-0 since Prescott joined the team when they run the ball 50% of the time.
Now, some of that's because they get a lead and then they run it.
Yeah. So. It's like this and that.
Yeah, well, the key
was more coming from the outside.
Because you know what that means then? First down's going to be key. You get them into second and third and long and force them to pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier to pass when he's passing on second and two, third and two, and then they're able to find those weapons deep because people are in the box. If you win first mm-hmm. down, you can probably you make them a lot more predictable. So can the Eagles win first down?
Last week, Cowboys gained 160 rushing yards after contact. Pretty good.
Got to tackle. Got to get these guys on the ground.
That means you got to tackle, and the Eagles, beyond the front four, don't tackle very well.
No.
Mike and Del Ran, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's going on, Mikey?
Hey, you know, I've been watching the Dallas Eagles games for a long time, just as everyone else has, and I can't ever remember a game where both teams just look like mirror images of themselves. I agree with Tyrone that Dallas probably has the better skill at the positions, but the season for both teams has been very similar. You know, we mm-hmm. beat Green Bay and the Bills. You know, we lost the Jets. They won that game big against the Rams the other night.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know what to expect. I don't have optimism or pessimism. I really don't know. I do know that the one thing I disagree with is that this is very most certainly a Carson Wentz versus a Dak Prescott game.
I mean, yeah.
This is the first game they're playing against each other that's this kind of stage with this big of a meaning, right? You're playing for your playoff life. And as much as Carson Wentz has looked pretty good to lead these last two wins, you know, he's got to do that this weekend. If they're going to win this game, he's got to perform like they performed in that Packers game. They're going to have to put up points because you're right. Other than our front four, our defense can't tackle.
All right, but him performing, he has to have somebody that is the performee.
Agreed.
That's what I'm. When you go, okay, it's all on Carson. Okay, yeah. Now Carson looks down the field. He hit one wide receiver last week.
Listen, if there's a lot of drops from these guys, if Greg Ward, you know, comes back to earth.
Yeah, it's not about drops. It's about getting open. These guys don't get open.
Well, some of the balls that Carson places has to be a little better, too. But I'm with you. Zach Ertz has to have a big game. Miles Sanders has to have a big game. And if Aguilar plays, he just has to have at least a semi-decent game. That Amari Cooper's going to burn us. Ezekiel is going to get his. So we just got to match it.
All right. Yeah, you're right. See, I don't know how to feel about Dallas because we're judging them off last week. They look good last week. All right, they look good against the Rams. But before that game, we go, they're not that good of a team. Certainly the Eagles can beat them at home. At least that's what I was saying the whole time. But that game last week shook me a little.
Yeah, Mike, you're a betting man, right? So when you get a chance during a break, I was looking at it before you brought me on off hold. Look at some of the stats of Dallas as an away favorite, Eagles as a home underdog, teams winning after winning a game by more than, like, 15. You don't see anything. Dallas is 6-6 as road favorite.
Well, those numbers are all well and good. I look who has the better personnel on offense right now. Yeah, those numbers don't mean anything when we're talking about what the Dallas Cowboys have skill-wise. Those numbers, those intangible numbers, those trends aren't going to apply to their game plan.
Right. That's why I hope people, I think he misunderstood. Obviously, there's pressure. If Carson Wentz is throwing picks and playing mm-hmm. bad, then it's, I'm talking about there's a chance with the skill that Carson can come out and play an A game and still lose because the other team has better players. That's what I'm talking about.
And here it is. The A game that happened last week happened against a bad team.
Right.
With all due respect, it happened against a bad team. How many teams are going to win when only one receiver, wide receiver, catches a football? How many times is that going to happen?
And they went out there and put a 30 spot up and still needed to put up a 30 spot against,
yes,
which was ranked the worst offense in football.
But then I go, well, maybe it was a one-shot deal for the Cowboys last week. Like, there's more evidence that they stink than the game against the Rams.
You're right about that. And that's why I think they can be outcoached. Those coaches can be outcoached. But to me, it's overly simplistic to just go, oh, what it is quarterback. To me, that's not watching these particular teams. That's not how a lot of this season has played out. It's been a lot of other stuff other than the two quarterbacks for both teams.
All right. Let's go. Dave in Warminster. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, Dave.
First time caller. I've never called a sports show before in my life.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. And you guys do a great job. I watch almost every day.
Thank you, buddy.
Listen, I agree with everything you guys have said so far, but there's one thing that nobody has said that I think is going to be the key. If Lane Johnson doesn't play and you have to put Vitae at right tackle, the game is lost. Absolutely lost.
Yeah, he's coming off a decent performance, though. So,
did you see Vitae on the play last week where he was supposed to block Anderson, stepped up to block Anderson?
Well, you're going to find one play. Overall, he played surprisingly well.
And did you think so? I thought he was awful. In fact,
no, he wasn't awful last week.
The announcers even thought he was bad. They thought Anderson was going to. It was going to kill me.
No, I think you're focused on one play. Overall, he played okay.
Okay, if you think so, but I really didn't. And I think
I think the team thought so too.
Yeah. Oh well, if they put Vitae out there, Wentz may not finish the game.
You're holding on to that narrative.
I am.
All right.
I'm an old head, and I don't like to see that stuff.
Well, listen, they got to play whoever they have to play.
Yeah, I know.
So you're telling me if Vitae has to play against Lane instead of Lane Johnson, the Eagles can't win.
Right, absolutely.
All right, we'll see how it plays out, Dave.
Okay, thanks.
All right, buddy. Greg in Bethlehem. What's up, Greg?
Hey, guys. One of the things that nobody's really talking about, is offensively the team is still evolving. You know, I mean, last week.
Huh?
In the end.
Doing what?
They're
evolving.
Evolving.
What does that mean?
Well, it means they're plugging people in that they've had in the organization, but they hadn't been playing. You know, guys like Greg Ward, you know, they're featuring Miles Sanders more. They're doing things they hadn't been doing earlier in the year. I think if Howard can play, they ought to use him like they used Blunt a couple years ago and on short yardage. Sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm.
And Aguilar ought to carry water.
You don't want him playing?
I don't.
So evolving thing is nice if you have time to evolve. They have to play an A game. There's like no room for skill players still evolving. You know what I'm saying? I know what you got was a good impression with Greg Ward against the Washington Redskins. Now it's go time. This is for a division title. Like, the evolving thing doesn't work for me.
Well, it's at least a source of a little optimism. I just think he gives you more potential than what you had. I think the biggest problem is...
You're saying... I can see where you would say that, but, like, how can you count on that? You're telling me that you've seen enough of Greg Ward to say, wow, he's going to do it against Dallas.
No, I say I've seen enough against Greg Ward that he's better than Aguilar.
Okay. I'll go that far. That doesn't mean it's high test gas at this point.
No, I agree. I mean, I'm not.
High test. That's what the old heads would say. You put a high test in a car?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not I'm not going to bet the house on the game, but you know, I do think there's some reason for optimism. Mm-hmm. I think if Dallas DNs play contain, we're in trouble. You know, if they go up the field and keep Carson uh-huh. in the pocket,
that's pretty good viewpoint, right? You know, go up the field. And this way you got guys in the flat that you can hit, your running backs coming out of the backfield.
Yeah. I do wonder.
If they stay home, it'll be more problematic.
Yeah. If Howard does go, I do wonder how much of the route tree at this point Sanders and Scott know, other than just like the wheel route screen pass.
Mm-hmm.
If they know more of the route tree, maybe there's ways of being a little more diverse there to give the quarterback another weapon, because now you have one in the backfield and maybe one in the slot extra. But I don't know. I have no idea what routes those guys are ready to run.
Yeah.
I have no clue. But if they can do more than just those wheel routes, this will probably be the time to see it. That way it's less for somebody else if he can play.
You see, my father just came at me with the high test. I remember conversations I hear. See, my father had Chevy Impala. My Uncle Bo had a Coupe de Ville.
Yeah.
And my Uncle Bo, you got to put high test in that Chevy. It's Barry, you don't need high test. It's an Impala. You need high test because you got a Coupe de Ville.
Right.
I don't put anything else but high test.
That's the only one he put in there?
Only high test. Yeah. An engine needs high test. 610-632-0975. Rob in Hanover. What's up, Rob?
Yes, Bob in Hanover.
Bob, what's up, Bob?
Not much. I haven't called in a while. Hey, to answer your question, I think we ought to stick with Ward and Boston Scott. I love the way Ward breaks off his routes and gets and moves the chains, and I like the way Boston Scott gets outside and keeps those linebackers loose out there instead of creeping in. So I'd rather keep the status quo for this game.
So you would keep Howard on the shelf?
I would keep him on the shelf, occasionally bring him in, but I wouldn't disrupt what they got going.
Well, if you occasionally bring him in, you're disrupting it.
Well, you know, when we need something different that he can run, so that.
Yeah, but see, Howard's like a volume back. You're not going to get anything out of him but putting him in little dribs.
Hey, I wanted to make the point that this game, I apologize to all the youngsters out there, but this game smells just like, and I know it's a different situation, but it smells like the 1980 NFC Championship game to me, where Dick Vermeil's famous speech where he said, if the Dallas Cowboys take us for granted, we're going to whoop their ass. And they beat them 20-7 in that title game where Montgomery busted off a 42-yard.
Yeah, run. You're missing one thing. The Eagles are a pretty good team. No, they were good. They were a schmo.
The records were almost identical.
Well, that's what I mean. They were a contender.
They were division champs, but Dallas was right on their heels. They only had one.
Yeah, and my point is that Eagles team was much bigger in stature than this Eagles team.
Yeah, I agree. But the thing was, they had Dorsett. We had Montgomery. They had Danny White. We had Jaworski. The teams were evenly matched in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. and they dominated us. And they're coming into our house, and I think this smells just like that game to me.
Yeah, it doesn't to me. I'm sorry, because the Eagles then had home field advantage and a good team. Now they have home field advantage and an okay team. Now, yes, just with the question, aren't the Cowboys also okay? Yeah, I guess, by their record. But when you look at what they do, what the Eagles do, it doesn't seem to be that evenly matched. That's all I'm saying. Like, yeah, I understand what that game in 1980 was totally evenly matched. And the Eagles had the advantage with the freezing cold weather, and they had great skill play. It was a great team they had. Team good enough to go to the Super Bowl. This team's not good enough to go to the Super Bowl.
No. And Dallas, a lot of people are saying they're the most... National people are saying they're the most underachieving team because talent-wise,
yeah,
they should be.
They're high-priced players out there for them.
And if you look at point differential, they have the point differential of a 12-win team, and at best they're going to be a 9-win team. It's very odd because they blow teams out and then they lose these close games.
I would love to say that this game would carry the same kind of clout, atmosphere, whatever, that 1980 game did against Dallas Cowboys for a division. I get it. I don't feel that way. Something magical is going to happen for the Eagles, in my opinion, on Sunday.
See, I don't need to be magic. I need
magic.
Garrett to be Garrett and Doug to be a great coach for a game, and they win. I don't need that. That's not magic to me. The Bears aren't a good team.
They're
not making the playoffs. They beat Dallas.
You know, I'm logical.
Yeah.
All right. What is it logical to think that Doug Peterson is going to outcoach him by that much?
Yeah, it's logical.
You do?
It's possible, yeah.
Right now you think Doug Peterson is all that?
I'm saying that he could be mediocre, and that's better than bad. I think Garrett is a legitimately bad coach.
How did last week happen?
I think that happens with them. They were going to be a team above 500 eventually, but Doug this year, who hasn't been great, beat like three or four of those teams.
He coached a good game by all measures against the Rams.
Some of that is the Rams are flimsy. We know the Rams are flimsy.
They're not flimsy.
They're a little flimsy.
They're
a little front runnery. A little flimsy.
All right.
They're not making the playoffs.
No, that loss kind of kicked them out of the playoffs at that point. Like the way the Vikings are playing, but they still were a playoff contender.
Yeah.
Flimsy playoff contender?
I think they're I do.
All right. 610-632-0975. Which road do you want to walk? The road of reality or the road of magic? Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
2:45, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. I was counting down these songs I have. I think I got 32.
That's pretty good.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. This is good to radio. I think I got it.
That's pretty good.
I think I got it. You know, I got Aloe Black against, let's see, Bruce. Aloe Black, Santa Claus is coming to town against Bruce's Santa Claus coming to town.
I mean, I enjoy Aloe Black, but...
Well, I even heard the Aloe Black version, have you?
I don't... Probably.
I've heard it. I'm going to go through once I get to listen and see if I can get snippets of all the songs.
Yeah.
Go through.
Yeah, I got a lot of duplicates in here, so I don't know how to put them in the bracket.
Maybe just flip a coin.
I got Madonna in this. I got Weezer.
Yeah, I think
I got Destiny's Child.
Which match?
I got DMX.
DMX.
I got Wham. I got Luda. I got Christina Aguilera and Brian McKnight. This is an all-star cast that I'm assembling here.
I love Luda.
You got Luda's version in there.
Wait, TLC, I'm breaking out.
You got TLC
TLC's in there.
Did you mention DMX?
Yeah, he mentioned.
Yeah. DMX, yeah, DMX and Luda.
Whoa. DMX, whoa. I think might end up making a run.
I got Hanson.
Yeah, see.
Hanson against Otis Redding.
Well.
Uh-oh. It's because Zeki and Shenandoah. What's up, Zach?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Here's good. How you doing?
Pretty good. Here's my opinion on the game. It's only my opinion now. For the Eagles to win, it has to be a low-scoring game. Because if they get in a shootout without the deep threat, and then you take away the running game on the Eagles, they're going to be in a little trouble.
I agree. I think they have to score 28.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And one other thing, Mike. When the draft comes, why don't they make no trade for these old head receivers beat up and these draft the best college wide receiver you could get. They need a threat. Someone they could teach and learn the system, and they should be fine. But you have to get a receiver, the first pick.
I agree 100%. Now, they've never focused on that before. The last first-round pick they took, who was that? Was that what pick was Aguilar? Was it Jeremy Maclin higher pick?
Yeah, they were a high pick, yeah.
I think they were around the same.
Were they about the same?
I thought.
All right.
And but they're at home. Dallas lost 7 out of 10, so they have a chance.
You like them, Zach?
On a low-scoring game,
Do they have a chance?
Oh, definitely. You have to play the game. You have to play the game. You know that.
All right, buddy.
Hey, you guys always have a good Merry Christmas.
Hey, you too, Zachy.
I love all of you.
Thank you, man. We love you, too. Good. He says, good. And in the draft, they have to get a skilled player in the draft.
Yeah, he does. Maclin was the 19th overall pick. Aguilar was 20th.
There you go. Jeremy Maclin, the higher pick.
One pick.
That's the highest pick they've had, Jeremy Maclin.
19 and 20. That's what they're going to be picking this year. But there's three rounds worth of good wide receivers. They got to take one in the first and third, and then best available in the second, because they need to get younger on defense, too.
I agree. It's now time to get some pedigreed skill players.
Yeah, like running back, you probably don't draft early because Sanders looks good. And if Boston Scott can finish strong, maybe you have him in your – and Howard, you could possibly re-sign. So you don't need to draft a running back early, but you need receivers.
Yep.
You need – and then on defense, you need several things. And how we want to keep all his picks, that's why he didn't make any trades at the deadline. He's got a hit on at least half this year. Big.
Dan in South Jersey. You're on 97.5 Fanatic, Dan.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's going on, Dan?
I love watching you every day. It's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yesterday, I have to tell you, I really thought Tyrone had it going until I heard him say that Charles Nelson Riley made the quote of the quote.
Yeah, Booney okey-doke of them. It was an okey-doke from Booney. And Booney, our producer at NBC Sports Philly, okey-doke Tyrone.
Well, it was
he didn't give Tyrone time to think. He just assumes that every answer Booney throws at him is correct instead of okey-doking him. But he okey-doked him yesterday. He's got to settle out with Booney.
Anyhow, getting to the Eagles.
Yes.
Here's what I think. I watched the Cowboys play the Jets in New York. They were intimidated. They got destroyed by a terrible team. They're not going to come in here as long as they feel uncomfortable. I believe it's going to be a murder, and I'm looking forward to it. I want to see Jerry Jones basically banging the desk in front of him. I want to see all that. I absolutely loathe the Cowboys.
You think it's going to be a murder?
A murder.
Really?
What I believe is that they finally, I agree with Tyrone about this. They basically have the better coach, and I believe that by putting one running back on one side and one on the other, the Cowboys are going to be lost. I really believe it. You do the fake to one, throw to the other. They've been running that play. Nobody stops it. They can't stop Sanders. And the last thing I'll say is nobody makes that pass that Carson Wentz did to Sanders, except maybe Mahomes and Brett Favre. The guy has a gun for an arm.
Yes, he
does.
Have a great
day.
All right, you got it there, Dan. Dan, very positive. Very positive. He's got the two-back set going. He's got Carson Wentz as Brett Favre.
Well, that throw. He didn't have a Brett Favre. Just that one throw.
It was a fastball. No question.
On the run. What I liked is that he didn't have to wind up.
It's a tough ball to catch, too.
Yeah, he stuck it to him.
Give Sanders credit.
Yeah. Stuck it to him, got his body in there. Mm-hmm.
Drew in Westchester. What's up, Drew?
Hey, Mike. So I'm going to take the positive route myself, and I'm going to go with I think the Eagles definitely need to come out and take the lead in this game. I think we cannot come and play from behind in this game by any means of the by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
We do that, we're going to be in trouble. I also think it's going to come down to the running back situation. We've got to run the ball. It's got to be I don't know if it's got to be an equal spread or if it's not going to be more run than pass, but we got to slow down the tempo of this game. We can't give Dallas a chance to air the ball out too much. And we got to keep the score low, like you said. I mean, I think 28's even maybe too high. I'm thinking maybe like a 21-17 type game.
21-17. I like it. I like it. Yeah. Listen, that's very possible. Yeah, I don't know about the Eagles scoring 3 touchdowns. Maybe how about 20-17?
That's
couple,
fine.
Couple field goals. Like Kiki boys do to get back on a streak.
Yeah.
It's been erratic lately.
I just don't want to see him coming back in this fourth quarter and having to try to win the game. And I think that would be a case scenario for us.
Since he got in the van with Michael Barkan, he hasn't kicked that well.
Yeah, right, Jake Elliott.
Have you seen that?
I did see that, yeah, right, where he was at Franklin Field, right?
Yeah. All right, Drew.
That's my take, Mike.
You got it. See, yeah, since he's praying around with Barkan in the van, he's missed a couple.
Well, he got paid.
Got paid for what?
He got the extension. That's when he started missing. Yeah, the extension. You can't be paying.
Extension. He kicked. He at the extension. Did he make a couple?
No.
He missed the ones.
So
let's time it. Whether it's the extension or Barkan.
It was the extension.
It was the extension.
He got the extension that week and then missed in Miami and then missed another one. He been missing, and then that's when they called him what's his name, Brandon Graham. After the game, called him what's his name. Didn't even call his name for missing the kick.
Yeah, Grant called him what's his name.
Called him what's his name. What's his
name? Well, he actually knew his name, to be honest with you. I don't think he did disrespect.
He really didn't know.
No, I don't think anybody knows the kicker's names.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, they do.
They don't really pay attention. Like, well, they probably don't know his last name.
We need a current or former player to reach out on the text board.
No, I'm pretty sure they don't know his last name.
They know his name.
Like, Akers was around for a long time, so they knew his last name was Akers. Normally, football players don't even care about the kicker's last name.
They know
most of the time, they call him Dude.
That's not true.
It's absolutely true.
I hope that's true.
It's true. I think it's legitimate. What's his name? He forgot the Zeke part, but he certainly doesn't know his last name.
He thinks he's just Jake.
I think the players
he doesn't
don't,
know he was Ellie.
I don't think the players know his last name.
You think they just know him as Jake?
I think he is so separate from the whole thing. Like, he has been banished to the little boys' table at Thanksgiving, and they don't care what his name is. They really don't.
Jake from State Farm.
Until he makes a game-winning kick, and then they fake like he's a football player, and they congratulate him, but I don't think they know his last name.
Okay.
All right, 610-632-0975. By the way, my car is kicker proof. So, like, you know how I got in Barkan's car?
Yeah.
My car senses that there would be a kicker in the pasture and eject. It has an automatic eject sensor. This Mercedes has everything, man. It's got the kicker reject button.
That's fantastic.
No, actually, I don't even have to work the button.
It's just a sensor.
It senses it.
It starts to beep. Knows. It's like one of those deer sensors.
Exactly. If a kicker tried to get in my car, he's like,
kicker.
610-632-0975. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.